الحمد لله رب العالمين، والصلاة والسلام على أشرف الأنبياء والمرسلين سيدنا محمد وعلى آله وأصحابه أجمعين، أما بعد. Today we're continuing from where we left off from Surah Ma'idah, which is from the beginning of the seven juz till the end of the seven juz. The next thing from the seven juz, Surah in Surah Ma'idah, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala talks about the penalty for false oaths. Many people may have heard that if you break an oath, you have to fast for 3 days. It is mentioned on the first page of the seven juz, the details of this exact scenario. We're not going to talk about the fiqh, let's move forward. Then Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala once again mentions the prohibition of wine and gambling, but in more specific and more explicit words. Then Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala talks about many, many different issues and injunctions, especially those relating to ihram and those relating to hunting during ihram and many different things. Moving forward, towards the end of this surah of Surah Ma'idah, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala actually talks about what this name of the surah is. He talks about the Ma'idah, which Ma'idah, like I said, is a table spread. Anything which you place food on, that is called a Ma'idah. And there is a very, very important lesson for us right now regarding this incident, and we'll know why Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is talking about this as well. So what happened was, the disciples of Isa alayhi salam, known as the Hawariyun, they asked Isa alayhi salam that just so we have comfort in your message and our yaqeen and our certainty increases, is it possible you can ask Allah to send food down from the heavens? But can you tell him to anzil alayna ma'idatan minas sama, send a ma'idah, a table spread with food down from heaven, so that we may have more certainty in what you're telling us. So Isa alayhi salam originally told them to fear Allah, but when they told him that we believe, but we want to be more certain, then Isa alayhi salam actually made the dua. He asked Allah, anzil alayna ma'idatan minas sama. He told Allahumma, he said, let a table spread and food come down from the heavens. So it came down, and Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala mentions in the surah, إِنِّي مُنَزِّلُهَا عَلَيْكُمْ, I am going to send it down. Now what happened after that, we do not know. There are different narrations mentioned. Some say that those that Ma'idah was sent down, and these people, some of them did something very wrong with that Ma'idah, some of them stored it, and they were very greedy with it. Wallahu a'lam, but the ayahs don't mention it. Now right after Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala sends this ma'idah down and says that I'm going to send this food down from heaven, he gives us a very, very, very important lesson. He says, إِنِّي مُنَزِّلُهَا عَلَيْكُمْ فَمَنْ يَكْفُرْ بَعْدُ مِنْكُمْ. Now that I have sent this down, whosoever now rejects my message. I showed you a great miracle. Now after showing this great miracle, whoever rejects my message, then I'm going to give him a punishment, لا أعذبه أحدا من العالمين, such a punishment that I have not given anyone this punishment before. So what is this telling us? Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala's wisdom is to always send down signs in a very passive manner. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala doesn't just send a bunch of angels down in front of us and we see them. No, he keeps his signs very passive. You have to actually think about them, look at them, and then accept them, regardless of how large they may be. Because if Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala were to reveal a major sign or something from the ghaib, from the unseen, and becomes completely visible to us, then all those who do not believe thereafter will either not be given any more time to question their belief anymore. If Allah sends a major miracle and we see it and we still don't accept Allah fully or don't have full yaqeen, then all of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, what is he going to do? لَقُضِيَ الْأَمْرِ. Another ayah Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says in this same surah, that if we were to send angels down, لَقُضِيَ الْأَمْرُ ثُمَّ لَا يُنْذَرُونَ, the matter would be settled and they will not be given any more time to think. That's it, finished. You saw the miracle, now you have to believe, otherwise you're destroyed. And another ayah, Rasulullah tells the people that لَوْ أَنَّ عِنْدِي مَا تَسْتَعْجِلُونَ بِي, if all the miracles you're asking me to bring, if I had them with me and I showed them to you, لَقُضِيَ الْأَمْرُ, then the matter would be done and that's it, game over. So out of the mercy of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, he does not show such great major signs because many people have disbelieved in those in the past. And the second scenario is either we won't be given any time to have any more questions or we'll be severely, severely punished, as mentioned in this ayah by Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And that happened with many nations before. With Prophet Salih alayhi salam, he brought them, they asked him to bring a she-camel out from a mountain somehow and make that she-camel give birth as well. And he actually did it. He did it for them and they still rejected Salih alayhi salam. So Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala tells us that people in the past saw major signs but they still didn't accept. So Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, as His mercy, He doesn't show us these great, great, great signs. He shows us minor things, but apparent enough where we would believe in Him. Now in this pandemic, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is clearly showing us His power. Countries that were flaunting their economic and military power have been forced into a corner. The riches of countries have entire groves of people now becoming poor. No matter how much power we have, no matter how big our army is, how much our strength is, how powerful our economy is, when Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala wants to show us His power, He will surely show it. A sad result of all of this would be is that we do not see this as one of the signs of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala's might, and instead keep on thinking we need to see something bigger to increase our iman. It should be more than enough to increase our iman. That is one great lesson from this ayah. Moving forward, few lines down, right towards the end of Surah Ma'idah, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, this is a bit off topic, but I want to mention it. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala talks about something Isa alayhi salam said. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala told Isa alayhi salam, did you tell people to worship you after your death? That did you tell people to make you a god after your death, which is still happening today? So Isa alayhi salam tells him, of course not, that's not what I told them to do. So now what is happening? After this, Isa alayhi salam tells Allah that, okay, they committed shirk, they considered me to be a god, which is the worst deed ever, but in tu'adhibhum fa'innahum ibadah. If you're going to punish them, they're your slaves. وَإِن تَغْفِرْ لَهُمْ. But if you still forgive them, they committed shirk, but if you still forgive them, you are the most mighty. So these people that committed shirk, and yet Isa alayhi salam is still asking for their forgiveness. So here I would like to highlight one of the greatest qualities of the prophets, which is their mercy. There's a hadith that's in the Sahih of Imam Muslim rahimahullah related to this ayah. Once Jibreel alayhi salam was of course in Jannah, and Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala told Jibreel alayhi salam, idhab ila Muhammad. Go to Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, because he's crying, and ask him, ma yubkik wa fasalhu ma yubkik. Ask him that why is he crying? What is the reason? What is it that's making him cry? Jibreel alayhi salam goes down to Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, and he tells him about two ayahs that he was reciting. One of those ayahs was this one, when Isa alayhi salam said to Allah, even though his people committed shirk, that, ya Allah, if you forgive them, you are the most mighty. When Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam heard this, and when he recited this ayah, he began to cry a lot and a lot and a lot, that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala sent Jibreel alayhi salam to see what's happening, even though Allah knew more. So then, Jibreel alayhi salam goes back to Allah and tells him this is what's happening. So he tells Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, this is also the mercy of Allah, inna sanudika fi ummatik wa la nasu'uk. Tell this Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam that we are going to make sure we please him about his ummah, and we will never forget him. So anyway, right now, because of this crisis that we are in, many people are simply blaming others. China did this, the government should have done that, such and such people should have done this or that. The prophets were the most informed about who had done what. They received revelation about who did what. But regardless of anyone's crime, they would simply forgive and forgive and forgive. Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam insisted on praying the janazah of Abdullah bin Ubay bin Sulu, the greatest munafiq whose whole surah was revealed about him in the Quran. So anyway, during this time, we should not forget about the wrongs of others as well. Forgive any and all people and reflect on our own crimes and our own wrongs. This is the month of Ramadan, and this pandemic has given us even more than enough time to reflect about our own wrongs and not blame other people. We should just forgive everyone. Moving forward, Surah An'am. An'am literally means cattle, animals that we consume, cows, camels, ox, all those things, and buffalo. That's what Surah An'am is about. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala discusses many different pagan concept things that the mushrikeen and the polytheists used to do with cattle. That's why this surah is called An'am, which is going to be discussed more later, tomorrow inshallah. Then Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala discusses concepts of tawheed and belief in Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Going forward, there is a very, very important ayah in this surah. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, وَإِنْ يَمْسَكَ اللَّهُ بِذُرٍّ فَلَا كَاشِفَ لَهُ إِلَّهُ. If Allah decides to inflict you with harm, no one can remove that harm. وَإِنْ يَمْسَكَ بِخَيْرٍ فَهُوَ عَلَى كُلِّ شَيْءٍ قَدِيرٍ. And if He decides to give you good, then He is the one who has power over everything. Many right now are in a great difficulty. Some are in a health crisis. Some more people are in a financial crisis. Others are in an emotional crisis. Whatever the case may be, if we keep running after material remedies and worldly cures, then we will be falling short in our deen. Because I've been receiving multiple calls recently and messages from different people. They're asking me right now that, look, this pandemic is happening, so is it fine if we invest in this stock and that stock? Some people ask me, can we start investing in life insurance because the situation is so bad? So what's happening here is that people are asking to compromise on their deen because of something that's worldly. Instead of turning to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, we're possibly thinking of contravening sharia. Everyone knows all those issues about life insurance. Everyone's probably heard about them too. But people are thinking of turning to those things in this type of situation instead of turning to Allah. So we need to make sure we make dua, pray salah, and most importantly, leave our sins and replace them with good deeds. Allah says in the Quran, إِنَّ الْحَسَنَاتِ يَذْهِبْنَ السَّيِّئَاتِ. Your good deeds are going to take away your bad deeds. If we keep thinking that worldly benefit only comes from this world, then we will truly suffer, physically and emotionally. Turn to Allah, the one who is the king of all the wealth. He is the owner of every land, every state, every president, every country, every little fiber of this universe. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is the owner of all of it. Why would we ask from someone lower when we can ask from someone higher? Of course, this doesn't mean we completely disregard all worldly methods to aid us in our situation. That's, of course, wrong. Yeah, and then we say that, okay, you know what, let me not do anything and have trust in Allah, have tawakkul in Allah. That's not how it works, right? That's not that. You must drive the car for it to move. You must exercise to become strong. You must eat food to live. We can't simply say that let's have tawakkul on Allah and the car will drive itself. We'll automatically become strong. We'll automatically forever. That's not how it works. That's not tawakkul. That's foolishness. There's a hadith in Sahih ibn Hibban where Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam once said to a man, actually a man said to Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, أَرْسِلْ نَاقَتِي وَتَأَكَّلْ, that I have a camel, so whenever I stop anywhere, should I not tie it and just have trust in Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala that my camel will be fine and won't run away or anything? Rasulullah told him, no. اِعْقِلْهَا وَتَوَكَّلْ. Tie the camel first, وَتَوَكَّلْ, then have trust in Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. So we need to do our part as well. Imam al-Qushayri rahimahullah, a very great scholar of tasawwuf, ihsan and tazkiya, he says, اِعْلَمْ أَنَّ تَوَكُّلَ مَحَلَّهُ الْقَلْبِ. Tawakkul, reliance on Allah, the place for tawakkul is your heart. That's where tawakkul comes from. As far as harakatu bil-zahir, as far as what you do with your body and your outer, whatever, any outer things that you do with your physical body, he says, فَلَا تُنَافِ التَّوَكُّلْ بِالْقَلْبِ. It doesn't go against having tawakkul in your heart. After a person knows that rizq is always from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, then you can do whatever you want with your body to earn that rizq. But in your heart, you should know you trust Allah at the end of the day. That's what tawakkul is. It's in the heart. Whatever you do on the outside, that's on the outside. Moving forward, then Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala talks about consoling the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam and reminding him that not every sign is going to be shown to you. And if you really want a sign, why don't you go up to the heavens and pull it out? Then Allah says to Rasulullah, فَلَا تَكُونَنَّ مِنَ الْجَاهِلِينَ. Don't be from amongst the ignorant people. The people are not going to get every sign, and if Allah wanted, He would have guided them all, but He didn't. There's a hikmah, there's a reason behind it. Moving forward, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala also tells us here, which is very important, He says that Allah, وَلَقَدْ أَرْسَلْنَا إِلَىٰ أُمَمٍ مِّن قَبْلِكَ, that there were many people we sent different prophets to before you. And what happened was, فَأَخَذْنَاهُمْ بِالْبَأْسَاءِ وَالضَّرَّاءِ لَعَلَّهُمْ يَتَضَرَّعُونَ. And then we seized them with many different punishments. Many different punishments. They were seized by it. Why did this happen? لَعَلَّهُمْ يَتَضَرَّعُونَ. So they humble themselves and cry in front of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Currently, we are all being afflicted by a calamity. And there are three types of people when it comes to being afflicted by a worldly calamity. And let's see where we fall into. Number one are those people who realize that this calamity is from Allah, so they realize we need to turn to Him, seek His forgiveness, and seek His help. يَتَضَرَّعُونَ, so that we turn to Allah and seek His help. Second type of people are those people whose hearts become very, very hard. They become even more materialistic. They turn away from Allah, and they only resort to worldly help, not realizing that they right now actually turn to shaitan. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says the next ayah about these people, فَلَوْلَا إِذْجَاءَهُمْ بَأْسُنَا تَضَرَّعُوا وَلَكِنْ قَسَتْ قُلُوبُهُمْ, that their hearts have become hard, they didn't take any heed, وَسَيِّنَ لَهُمُ الشَّيْطَانُ وَأَعْمَالَهُمْ, and shaitan has made them think that their deeds are good, that they're in a hardship, let me go after all the material things. Shaitan is deceiving them. Third group of people are those that when they're afflicted by anything, that they turn to Allah because they're forced and compelled by that situation. They turn to everything else, nothing is working on, now let me make dua to Allah. But once Allah relieves them of their problem, what happens? Once that problem is gone, once that calamity is gone, all of a sudden the duas are gone. they've forgotten about Allah. They get back to their regular habits, they get back to their sins. So Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says about this in the Quran, that who is the one that saves you from the darkness of the sea and the land? And then when you call out and say, لَيْنْ أَنْجَانَا مِنْ هَذِي لَنَكُونَنَا مِنَ الشَّاكِرِينَ, Ya Allah, if you save us, then we will be from amongst the thankful. قُلِ اللَّهُ يُنَجِّيكُمْ مِنْهَا وَمِنْ لِكُلِّ كَرُبْ, that Allah is the one who saves you from this and every type of difficulty, ثُمَّ أَنْتُمْ تُشْرِكُونَ, then you begin to associate partners with Allah. Not necessarily just shirk, but you are originally calling out to Allah. When the difficulty is gone, now you're calling out to other people. So Allah telling us about these people. For these people and the category before this, the one whose hearts are hard, Allah Ta'ala many a times, what does He do for these people? He gives them whatever they want in this world. فَلَمَّا نَسُوا مَا ذَكِّرُوا بِهِ فَتَحْنَا عَلَيْهِمْ أَبْوَابَ كُلِّ شَيْءٍ, Allah says, we open up everything for them. They get all the money, they get all the wealth, they get all the health. But what happens after this? And then Allah waits. He waits and waits and waits, and once they've truly forgotten about Allah, they are ensnared in a punishment. May Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala save us from this. Mm-hmm. So Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has power over all, everything. He says in the Quran, and this is the ayah we should always keep in mind, especially about this calamity, هُوَ قَادِرُ عَلَىٰ أَن يَبْعَثَ عَلَيْكُمْ عَذَابٌ مِّن فَوْقِكُمْ أَوْ مِن تَحْتِ أَرْجُلِكُمْ, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has the ability to send a punishment from above you and below you at any time. So we should take heed from this. Moving forward, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala talks about the story of Ibrahim alayhi salam and many of his different blessings till the end of this, till the end of the seven Jews. And inshallah, we'll continue from tomorrow.